Welcome back to the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. We're going to finish up talking about our favorite bad weather games here before we move into some NCAA basketball talk. Before the break, Alex was talking about his favorite bad weather game, the 2007 NFC Championship game between the New York Giants and the Green Bay Packers, a game that was Brett Favre's last game as a Green Bay Packer, and the Giants upset them and went on to win the Super Bowl there, the 2007 Super Bowl champions. My favorite cold weather game, I wasn't even alive for it, but I've seen highlights of it, and it's just crazy to me to even think about playing in weather this bad. It's a game known as Red Right 88. It is the divisional AFC divisional matchup in the playoffs between the Oakland Raiders and the Cleveland Browns. This was the old Cleveland Browns, and this is back when they were good in the 80s, and
when they had an organization.
Yes, yeah, so we'll actually talk a little bit about the Cleveland Browns later in the show, with their complete overhaul of their front office. But anyways, this game was actually colder than the Ice Bowl, which was the coldest game to that point in NFL history. This game had the game time temperature was 4 degrees, but the wind chill factor was at negative 36.
Is that all?
Negative 36 degrees at kick at one point during the game it peaked at, and it was the coldest game wind chill wise in NFL history. And that game wound up being won at the end of the game. They're in California. Oakland's one of the one of the cooler towns because it's in the Bay Area, San Francisco and Oakland. It gets a little colder out there than it does, you know, in Los Angeles or San Diego. So they do get some cold weather out there, but they don't get any cold weather like what they got in Cleveland, Ohio that day.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, they wound up winning the game on a play known as Red Right 88. And at the end of the game, and they took it down there and scored and won 14-12 to advance to the next round. They actually wound up winning the Super Bowl that year, defeating the Philadelphia Eagles, and which was that game was in the Superdome. That was Jaws from ESPN was actually
Ron Jaworski.
Ron Jaworski.
Herm Edwards was a defensive back on that Eagles
yes,
team,
and,
too.
And Dick Vermeil was actually the head coach of that
mm-hmm.
team. So,
yep, his first crack at the Super Bowl.
Yes, so that was the first of that was the Raiders' last championship as a franchise before moving to Los Angeles. So that kind of spurred them on. Very similar to how. Which I don't know what game you're planning on talking about. I don't know if you're going to talk about the Tuck Rule game or not. Very similar to how the Patriots mm-hmm. beat the Raiders in the 2001 mm-hmm. divisional playoff round, and it spurred them on to a Super Bowl championship. But we'll go ahead and let you get into yours here.
Well, we keep on talking about the snow and the weather. I'm going to go with a game that I didn't even think of, but weather.com had their rankings of the worst weather games, and this is more Super Bowl. This actually happened in the Super Bowl. I remember this game mostly more for the weather than the ending of it, because the game was pretty one-sided. It was the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning and the Chicago Bears, and that is called the wettest Super Bowl, where there's 0.92 inches of rain, which I remember they were pushing the rain into like drains, and that the water was just sitting on the sidelines.
Cowboy was real busy. They yes. had to keep everything
oh,
dry.
I remember absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Like keeping the ball wet. They had the guy like running back and forth on the field with the towel trying to keep Peyton Manning, who kept on throwing balls to the side because he wasn't happy about it.
Isn't that funny, too, that that's the only Super Bowl win that Peyton Manning had?
Yes.
In terrible weather
in terrible
conditions.
Weather, exactly.
The one of the greatest passing
yeah.
quarterbacks of all time. He's had practically perfect weather conditions in his two other Super Bowl games
yeah.
since then, and hasn't been able to win, and he winds up winning the one. See, I thought it was ridiculous that he even won MVP in that game. I thought
yeah,
the two
exactly.
running. I thought Dominic Rhodes or the Joseph Addai should have won MVP in that game. I thought it was just kind of a... I felt like they just kind
of
gave it to him.
Tip of their hat,
yeah, because it was Peyton. But
the crazy thing, this is in South Florida, not Seattle or some of these other places that are known for the rain.
Well, Miami gets a lot of rain. It just kind of comes in spurts. They don't get a whole lot of like heavy rain. It just kind of it rains. If you're down there during the summer, it rains almost once a day, but it comes through for like it'll like just kind of just come through in about 30 seconds.
Exactly.
And it's gone.
It's not but it's not as known as Seattle and certain other places, but this game had 6 turnovers in the first half, 3 by each team, and this was Adam Vinatieri kicked the winning field goal. But remember, this game was pretty one-sided because you had Rex Grossman, who was the other quarterback, who is another Florida quarterback.
Can we just all take a minute and like laugh out loud that Rex Grossman made it to a Super Bowl? Like, what?
Exactly. So
we won't bash on the Bears too much. Our sports director Alex Biscus is a big Bears fan, so he might get on to us if we continue to bash on the Bears.
Yeah,
I'm a Rams fan. Anybody that wants to bash my team, feel right at home.
That's right.
I'm used to it.
You took my favorite game that happened that year because that was when the Super Bowl that year was on my birthday when the Giants won. So I had to find something that was different than just dealing with snow. I chose the Super Bowl.
Here's a game. I'm just going to mention this one before we move on into the NCAA basketball talk. A game I forgot about was in the playoffs. The game in Miami that San Diego beat Miami, and it's considered one of the greatest playoff games of all time when Dan Fouts and Caleb Winslow was down there. That, I think it was in 1984 divisional playoffs. That was considered one of the greatest playoff games of all time. The Chargers went down to Miami and beat them in the first round on the road, and it was wet, it was sloppy, it was crazy. 1982 divisional playoff. I thought 84 sounded a little too much, but it was one of the few playoff games that went into overtime, and San Diego wound up winning on a field goal. Did you have something to add to that, Andrew?
I was just going to say, did you guys remember, there's also, you know, we're talking football, but also baseball had bad weather. Do you remember a couple years ago in the 2007 playoffs, the Phillies were playing the Rockies in Colorado, and it was just pouring rain, and there was a lot of wind, and the wind ended up knocking the lights and the power out of the stadium for about 15 minutes. Do you guys remember that?
Not really. Of course, I don't follow baseball as much as everybody else.
I think the key with a baseball game when it comes to weather is because obviously there are baseball games where you have to deal with some snow or some rain or things like that. But if it happens in the playoffs, that makes it about 5 billion times more epic. You know what I mean? Like whenever you get to those really cool October, November nights, and if you ever got any funky weather in an ALCS or an NLCS or World Series.
I don't even know if this was necessarily weather related or not. But you remember back in the divisional playoffs in the mid-2000s when the Yankees and the Indians
Yankees
were playing.
And they had the
Joba
bugs.
Chamberlain had the bugs
the
all
bugs.
Over
See,
him.
They have
the
more
bugs.
Problems with the bugs and squirrels and stuff than just dealing with
I mean,
weather.
Like, he had them all over
that.
His face and everything. It was
Joba
crazy.
Was struggling
mightily. He's a guy that perspires quite a bit, so that might have had something to do with
but
it.
Then but then you had Jose Posada just, like, spraying the entire like pitching mound and everything, like everybody.
The bug spray
that just spraying hats.
That was nasty. I actually remember that. In fact, I was in St. Louis at the time because I was out in St. Louis watching my brother play over the weekend, and we were across the border in Illinois at a Joe's Crab Shack watching that game, and he had bugs just all over him.
They've had bee problems at certain games where just a hive starts out of nowhere. So I think it's more animals affect baseball games than actual weather.
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to move into some NCAA basketball
talk.
We're
going to move inside sports.
Yeah, indoor sports, which some people like, some people don't. I like the outdoor sports better. I like the weather.
It's almost March Madness, y'all.
Yes,
let's get it.
Yes, it
let's
is.
Let's get it, baby. Yeah.
The season the regular season ends in about a month from now. With about a month left in the conference season, 3 weeks left in the actual regular season, then the conference tournaments will take place. That's in Major Division I. For the mid majors, there's only about 2 weeks left, and then it's the first week. Their tournaments are the first week in March. So let's get into that. First, let's talk about Kansas State last night upsetting in-state rival Kansas at home in overtime. We're going to talk about kind of use the NCAA tournament with that. They're currently projected to be a ninth seed by Joe Lenardi. How much do you think this game last night bumps them up? Do you see them maybe as a 6 or 7 seed now after a big game, after a big win like this? This is definitely the biggest win they've had on the season.
Well, the fact that that's the biggest win that they've got on the season, I don't think helps them a lot. You know what I mean? When you talk about moving up drastically in seeding, I think you have to look at, especially in a very competitive Big 12 conference this season, where your final standing is going to be and how you perform in a conference tournament. If you can get another win against Kansas or knock off someone else important on the remainder of their schedule, then you can potentially look into moving into the upper tier of the seeds. But big win for Kansas State, and they always seem to do this. You know what I mean? It seems like whenever Kansas has a good team, they go to Manhattan to play Kansas State, and that's why rivalries are so beautiful.
The little apple.
Because exactly, yeah, like Kansas State is supposed to be very much little brother in this basketball rivalry, and it seems like every so often they jump up and beat Kansas pretty solidly on their home court.
And even with the loss of Frank Martin, their head coach, who's now at South Carolina, they've continued to be successful. They hired Bruce Weber as their head coach last season, the former coach at Illinois who led them to an NCAA championship appearance back in 2005. I thought that was a great hire for them to get a guy. He kind of just needed a change of scenery. Everything kind of just started to go downhill there in Illinois, and he's kind of revitalized his career at Kansas State. So it's nice to see them continue to be competitive even after Frank Martin, who was considered one of the best coaches in the country, left. But I think this, Kansas, you look at Kansas, they're 18-6 now, but they were ranked 7th in the country going into the game, and Joe Lenardi's bracketology is updated as of February 10th. And so that was before the game happened last night. So that they were a 2 seed before that, with 6 losses on their resume. You'd think they probably would lose maybe at least one more. Once you get into that 7-8 loss mark, you look at it, and I don't think they're going to be a 2 seed now. I think they're looking more at a 3 or 4 seed.
I would keep them at a 2 seed though.
Really?
Yes, because when you look at some of the other teams that are the 2s and 3s. I think, I'm looking at some of these rankings, like Ohio State, a 5 seed. I don't think that one, I think that they'll go higher. But I don't see many other solid 2 seeds to go in there unless a team makes a run for the 2 seed. It's very tough to see who's going to make a run for a 2 seed when even the 1 seeds I don't even think are going to stay up there. So I think it's almost, as we've said many of these times, it's way too early to start looking because there's so many games that could totally take a team that, as we said, a 2 seed and drop them all the way to a 5 or 6 or even an 8.
Yeah, you can't really make final cuts until after conference championship week. But, evaluating right now, I don't like Kansas where they are. I think that they're a 3 seed. I feel like that they're a very iffy team, a team with a lot of talent, but not a team that plays very consistently.
They haven't consistently performed.
And I would put, a couple of teams on or above their level at this point. And I also think that there's one of these 1 seeds in particular I feel like is going to fall and not be a 1 seed by the time Selection Sunday comes
around.
That's
exactly the point I was about to bring up here looking at this. Do you think that Florida is a number 1 seed?
Heck no.
I mean, I've watched them play a few. Yes, they're undefeated in conference play, but at the same time, they struggled at home, in my opinion, against, a team – Alabama, who is towards the basement in the SEC right now.
Yeah, but we gave them a good run, but still Florida killed us in the end.
Was an 8-point game.
It was an 8-point game.
That's it's
still
been single
8
digit
points, though. I still think that
8
during
points for a team that has 14 losses at home.
Alabama covered the spread. Yeah. Alabama covered the spread. Also, they only beat
Florida's a better team than how we played them. I think we got lucky.
Well, here's
the
thing, though. If you continue
pick us apart as they did in the end of the second first half.
If you continue to, but if you look at Florida up and down their schedule, they've had they only beat Auburn by 6
points.
Have
they even played Kentucky yet? Has Florida even played Kentucky either at home or on the road yet?
Well, let me look at. Let me tell you some of the games that they've won. They only beat they beat Missouri by 10. They only beat Auburn 68-61. Auburn's not a good basketball team. They only beat Arkansas by 2 points.
They haven't played Kentucky either at home or on the road.
And they
yet.
Do have. They have these are. This is going to be a tough test coming up. Tennessee's always a good basketball program, and always a tough game for them to play. So they play at Tennessee. tonight, and then they play at Kentucky on Saturday. And those are going to be two really big games. In fact, I think College Game Day is going to be in Lexington at Rupp Arena this Saturday for that game. It's going to be a top 25 matchup. And then after that, you know, they got to go. They play at Ole Miss, the team that beat them in the conference championship last year in the tournament, and then at Vanderbilt. So they, if you look at their schedule, they have five out of their last eight games are on the road. So I don't see them running the table in the conference, and I could actually see them falling all the way down to a three seed. I don't think they're a number one seed.
I put them at a two seed.
They've
beaten Kansas already, so they've beaten some of these other seeds that have been there. I think they're going to beat Tennessee. I think they're probably put a good fight up against.
I'm not saying who's going to beat them. I just think they'll slip up against one of these teams is what's going to happen, because they have not consistently been at, like, I mean,
I think they're better than all the teams that they're going to play.
Some teams that deserve it more than Florida. We can talk about what Florida may or may not do. Villanova, right there.
Let's get into the teams that we think should be the number one seeds, because that's a topic of discussion that we're going to have on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Student Section here on 90.7.